Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special interview episode of Daily Tech News Show. I'm Tom Merritt, and joining me for this will be Mark Spoonhour, editor-in-chief of Tom's Guide and LaptopMag.com. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit because you've been spending a lot of time with the Galaxy S8, I understand.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Before we get too deep into it, what do you think of it? What does it bring to the Android marketplace when you got so many different phones out there? And especially, why is it getting lauded so much? I see so many good reviews of it.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the design, because the first impression of a phone is really important. And so Samsung is talking about this infinity display, and you can see it right there, so that it stretches from edge to edge. So first impression is really important. So even though like the guts aren't terribly different than what you get from today's phone, the display is truly impressive. And it's also just one of the best displays we've ever tested, both in terms of how much of the color gamut it covers and also accuracy, brightness. And the funny thing is that the screen is so good that when you take pictures on it, they just look better on this phone than they do when you put it on Facebook and that sort of thing. It almost doesn't matter how much good or bad the camera is, and actually it is great. And it actually beat the iPhone 7 in our face-off, in a camera face-off that we did. But it really starts with that display.
Is that where we are now with phones? Is the design and the camera seem to be the two things that people are always looking at?
Yeah, I would say 2016 heading into this year was really big on camera and also dual cameras. So like they existed before Apple did it with the iPhone 7, but they did it in a really clever way in how you were able to get a true optical zoom. We just reviewed another phone this week from Asus, which is not very well known. It's called the Zenfone 3 Zoom, and it gives you 2.3x. So you know there's a little bit more like gamesmanship going on there.
Yeah.
And it also lasted the longest of any phone we've ever tested at over 17 hours of battery life.
Yeah, that is quite impressive. You know, another Asus that I remember was the old Pad phone. Do you remember that?
Phone. That was a nice experiment.
It was an experiment, and we have Continuum out there. And one of the key features of the S8 is DeX,
yes,
an accessory that allows you to connect a full-size keyboard mouse display to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Is this useful? And if so, who is this useful for?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When they first started showing it off to us, Samsung was sort of positioning it as a like really good for like an office worker. Like let's say you're going to a remote office, you just want to plug in your phone, check your email on a bigger screen. And I get that. But after actually testing it, we see it really better suited for, let's say, you know, someone like my mom, who doesn't even want to have to use a laptop, and you just sort of plug it in, you get your email on a bigger screen, a bigger browser. And at $149, it's actually pretty reasonable in terms of pricing. There are some drawbacks, though.
Yeah, so tell me that, because that makes sense. One of the use cases would be a casual user who just needs to do the basics and have a dock at home. Although I wonder if a casual user would bother going to the trouble of getting DeX and setting it up.
Yeah, I would have to set it up for my mom.
Yeah. But are there other use cases? I mean, can you use this in any workplace scenarios?
You know, what's funny is that the writer of the review, it's going to be live probably by Monday, on Tom's Guide, he said that he did the whole review on the DeX itself, including the research that he did on the web, using Google Docs, that sort of thing. And he found the performance to be pretty good, even when streaming HD videos on YouTube, for example. Although he did notice a little bit of lag between that and a regular PC. I think what you're getting is Chromebook-like performance, because it is $149 out of your phone. But I think it is interesting in terms of just like how far phones have come, in the sense that you can power a big screen experience. But part of the issue is there aren't a lot of apps that take advantage of the larger screen. There's about 16 in the Google Play Store that are sort of like DeX optimized, and that's not enough.
Yeah, and then everything else either just does a 2X version or just doesn't fit very well, it sounds like.
Yeah. So like, and in apps like Mario Run, for example, which granted, you know, it's better if you want to do touch as opposed to a mouse, it doesn't work at all. Like, so Mario starts running, and then when you click the screen with your mouse, he doesn't jump. So you could tell that there's just not a lot of apps that are optimized for it yet.
Yeah. I mean, then the dream is closer, it sounds like, of just being able to have that one device and then you plug it into whatever form factor you want, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, you know, not yet. And I think part of it is a software issue. Like, so this is Samsung going out on its own to do something. But let's say at Google I/O or maybe next year's Google I/O, You know, I'd like to see what Android is going to do about, we've been talking for years about how Google is bridging the gap between right. Android and Chrome OS, and they have, in a sense, because you can access Android apps from Chrome, but they haven't really melded the two together quite yet.
I wonder if we're getting to the point where the hardware is no longer the limitation, it sounds like. Maybe a little bit on the graphics side, but it is mostly just the chicken and the egg problem of getting people to develop the apps that will work responsively depending mm-hmm. on what screen they're on.
Right. And Google, you know, deserves some of the flack that they've received. Remember like when tablets were popular?
Yeah.
And a lot of people complained that there weren't any apps or many apps in the Google Play Store that actually scaled well for tablets. And, you know, meanwhile, Apple has over 1 million apps that work with the iPad. So I feel like if there's anyone who could figure out this problem, it is probably Apple. And I think it was only a couple months ago that there was a patent that leaked about being able to plug an iPhone device into a MacBook style clamshell. And I think they could potentially pull it off.
Yeah, they would pull it off if you want to stay in the universe, right? Like it's and that's the key. I like what Microsoft's doing because Continuum really mm-hmm. seems to have promise. And as they're finally bulldogging enough people into making universal Windows apps, I mean, iTunes is going to be in the Windows Store right. now. Mm-hmm. That is promising because you've got the software ecosystem, but Microsoft almost has the opposite problem, right? Because they don't have the phones anymore.
Exactly. So what we learned at Build this week is, I don't know if they're quite giving up, but it almost seems like that in terms of going head to head with Android and iOS, which in a way is kind of smart because what they're trying to do is insinuate Windows 10 features into Android and iOS, like a universal clipboard and some other clever things that they're adding to the experience. So I think they're doing it in the right way where it's sort of like a side door.
Yeah, so in this future scenario we're constructing here, you can use your iPhone in an Apple dock, or you can use the S8 in a DeX dock and run entirely Microsoft software for your business.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, some of the optimized apps that come with the DeX or that you can use with the DeX include Office itself. So I give Microsoft, again, like they're focusing more on spreading their experiences and their recurring revenue yeah. across as many devices as possible.
I want to talk a little bit about Bixby too, which is the sure. the voice assistant on the S8. Is it toe-to-toe with Siri and Google Assistant and Cortana? How does it fit in?
It doesn't really fit in yet because it's not complete. And mm-hmm. that was one of the most surprising things about the Galaxy S8 launch is that they made such a big deal about Bixby. And I like it in sort of concept, the idea where it doesn't really try to be your everyday assistant and instead does things that touch would normally do. I like some of the shortcuts that they promise, like beam this, you know, photo to my wife or share the last photo that I took, you know, with my wife, and it'll just send it out via email. And it takes you through all those steps that would usually take multiple taps. So it's not that Bixby won't be able to answer questions, but I like the fact that they're just not trying to do the same thing that Siri and Alexa and others are trying to do. But the fact that it's not here yet and they just said spring is very vague.
Yeah. And they're turning it on piecemeal here and there. Mm-hmm. And I know Samsung owns Viv, which was made by the same guys who made Siri, but do we know Bixby does not have Viv in it?
Yeah, so Samsung confirmed to me during our briefing that even though the Viv team has joined Samsung, they did not work on Bixby. But they did hint that as Bixby gets smarter, they're definitely going to play a role. And what I like about that, as you know, is that Viv was designed to be much more open than Siri has ever been in terms of allowing third-party developers to tap into that artificial intelligence. But I think, you know, the larger point is whether or not Samsung has the gravitas to create its own ecosystem, because up until now, they have not been able to do that.
Yeah, and they need to get other people to incorporate it, right? I mean, that's what Amazon's mm-hmm. doing with Amazon Voice Services. It's what Microsoft's yep. doing with Cortana. Mm-hmm. So that seems like that might be essential for them.
I agree. And so when you think about it today, Samsung has so many devices, you know, beyond phones, like TVs and appliances and that sort of thing. But what is that connective tissue? They've tried a little bit with SmartThings, and there is a Smart Connect app within the S8, but it only works with Samsung's own devices unless you get one of their hubs. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have to buy another piece of hardware to, let's say, control your Philips Hue lights with your S8. So you could tell that they're struggling a little bit to try to piece everything together, but they could get there.
Yeah, they could. I hope we get to that point where you don't have to think hard about whether you're buying the thing that fits. You know, can you imagine if you had to buy a refrigerator and you're like, wait, does this fit with my kitchen platform? Like that's where we're headed with this stuff.
Exactly. And that's where Alexa comes in, where almost anything that you buy today, smart home related, works with Alexa. And yeah. it's an outlier if it doesn't.
One last thing before we go. Obviously, everyone still thinks Samsung had a horrible year because of the Note 7, at least at the end of 2016. Does it look like the S8 is helping Samsung recover?
Yeah, and if you look at their stock price, it started to rebound well before that. And part of that is because how strong they are in the component side, right? So when it comes to memory and especially flash memory, they have a lot of partners. There's reports that Apple is going to be gobbling up a huge number of OLED displays from Samsung to power the iPhone 8. So on that strength alone, they had already started to rebound before the S8 came out. So even though the Galaxy S8 already has its fair share of issues, like the red screen tint that some people were talking about yesterday on Tom Sky, we reported about some people talking about the audio cutting out on their S8, but there's nothing that has been close to the magnitude of what happened with the Galaxy Note 7 fire. So if they stay true to their word that the S8 is safe, then I think they're going to continue to ride this positive wave at least until the iPhone 8 comes out.
Yeah, the red screen stuff, that's all pretty typical. Whenever there's a launch, you always find a couple of weird things, a yellow screen, you're holding it wrong, all of those sorts of stuff.
Right.
Do you think that the Note should continue to be called the Note, or should they change the name?
You know, it's a really good question, because I was shocked when I heard that they were going to be calling it the Note 8. But if you actually look at search trends right now, the Note 8 is actually outpacing the Galaxy S8 in terms of user interest. And I think part of the reason is not just because it's not here yet, but they might be able to fix some of the things that people didn't like about the S8, starting with the fact that it didn't have a dual camera. And at least for power users, they really like to have that pen. So, I mean, if it was me, I would call it something like the Galaxy S8 Pro. But because I feel like there's a lot of baggage with the Note name.
For sure.
But I guess that's up to them.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a coup if they can pull off calling this the Note 8 and it's popular and sells well and it gets lauded. It would be almost like erasing 2016 for them.
Yeah, it would be a heck of a comeback story.
Yeah, no kidding. Better than the Cubs. Well, hey, Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, man. This was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If folks want to find out what you're involved with, what you're doing, where should they go?
Go to tomsguide.com as well as laptopmag.com. And you can follow me at mspoonhour on Twitter.
Definitely will do that. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. Of course, Daily Tech News Show, totally supported by you folks at patreon.com/DTNS. And you can get our daily discussion Monday through Friday at dailytechnewsshow.com. We'll see you later.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.